skip into our time with the Lord. Please pray with me while you're being seated. Lord God, may you take my lips and speak through them. Take our hearts and speak to them. And take our wills and set them on fire with love for yourself. That in the hearing of your word, we would be transformed and changed. Holy Spirit, guide this time. And Jesus, we pray these things in your powerful name. Amen. This morning, we're going to be looking at our gospel reading from Luke chapter 13. If you want to follow along in the Blue Pew Bibles, you can follow along on page 872. Or if you have your own Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 13. My sermon this morning is going to deal with the subject of masks. And this morning I'm going to have 4 points as we walk through this time. First, do not be afraid. Secondly, Jesus sees. Jesus frees. And then, come as you are. Now, a mask, as defined by one of my sources of wisdom, Wikipedia, a mask is an object normally worn on the face, typically for protection, disguise, or performance. Now, I'm going to read a portion of a poem to you right now. I'm not really into poetry or much of a poet, but this is a powerful poem that's read at every Dynamos retreat. Please listen, and don't be fooled by me. Don't be fooled by the face I wear, for I wear a mask. I wear 1,000 masks, masks that I'm afraid to take off, and none of them are me. Pretending is an art that's second nature with me, but don't be fooled. For God's sake, don't be fooled. I give you the impression that I'm secure, that all is sunny and unruffled with me, within as well as without, that confidence is my name and coolness is my game, that the water's calm and I'm in command, and that I need no one. But don't believe me. Please, don't believe me. My surface may be smooth, but my surface is my mask, my ever-varying, ever-concealing mask. Beneath lies no smugness, no complacence. Beneath dwells the real me, in confusion, in fear, and in aloneness. I hide this, and I don't want anybody to know it. I panic at the thought of my weaknesses, and I fear exposing them. That's why I frantically create and put on my masks to hide behind. They're nonchalant, sophisticated facades to help me pretend, to keep everyone, all of you, from seeing me, to shield me from the glance that knows. But such a glance is precisely my salvation, my only salvation. Now, that's a powerful poem. It's a powerful poem, and I know it spoke to many of you. It's emotional just to read it. Our reading from Luke 13 is an encouragement for all of you to set your masks aside and to come as you are. It's a testimony of what should be regularly witnessed in the midst of our worship together. Why do we wear masks, if you remember the definition? For protection, for disguise, or for performance. Protection from fear or embarrassment. Protection of our insecurities. Protection of our wounds, our pride. We wear masks because we're unwilling or unable to expose our true selves to others. Why do you wear masks? Well, because you are afraid. Because you all have flaws. You all are broken. You all, like me, are sinners. So thus, we all are imperfect. You wear a mask because, like the woman in this historical account, you have a disability you seek to hide. you all have disabilities. The Greek word used in this passage for disability literally means a state of weakness or limitation or frailty of body or of soul. This describes every one of you and me. There is no one who has it all together and is perfectly healthy. There's no one who is without fear or without anxiety or without bitterness or resentment, without anger, without jealousy, without greed, without imperfection. There is no one who is without sin. Apart from our Lord Jesus Christ, there is no one. This is me, and this is every one of you. We pick up our reading in verses 10 and 11. Now Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and there was a woman who had had a disabling spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not fully straighten herself. This woman noted is to have a disability for 18 years. For years, she's endured this state of weakness, this limitation, this frailty in her body. It's pictured in her physical body as she's bent over. But surely, that disability would impact her emotional and her spiritual being as well. You could hear her crying out to God over the years, "Why me? Why not heal me? Why this, Lord?" I believe hers was a complete disability, body and soul. Physical, emotional, and spiritual. But disabled as she was comfortable in her skin. In our reading here, where is she? She's in the synagogue on the Sabbath. She's seeking to worship along with her community of faith. She's not afraid of her imperfections and her weakness. She's not afraid of her disability. This is our first point this morning. Do not be afraid. Courage and vulnerability are the first steps towards freedom. This woman models for you that you need not be afraid of your spiritual community. She models, "Come as you are." Moving to the next verse, 12. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said to her, "Woman, you are freed from your disability." So what does Jesus do? The first thing, what does he do? He sees her. Jesus sees. In the midst of the teeming crowd in the synagogue on the Sabbath, he notices her. And he sees her. In the same way this morning, the Lord Jesus Christ, he sees every one of you. Nothing is hidden from his eyes. He sees you as you are. And as he did for the woman, he calls to you to come near to him. Jesus sees you. He loves you as you are. Now, as we look at the Gospels, in some cases, Jesus, when he encounters a sick person, he asks them a question. Do you want to be healed? He asks them a question. What is it you desire? Here, he puts on his Nike mantra and he just does it. He says, he calls her over, "Woman, you are freed from your disability." Note his choice of words here. He didn't say you are healed. He said you're freed. This is point number three. Jesus frees. He says to her, "You are set free. You are released from your bondage. You are released from your disability. You are free." there's power in those simple words. Jesus, Messiah, God the Son, declaring, you are free. He desires that each of you be free from your masks. That each of you be free. We move on to verse 13. And Jesus then laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight, and she glorified God. Jesus sees her in the midst of the synagogue. He calls her over. He lays his hands on her, and we read she was made straight. Another interesting way to say that. Literally, make straight in the Greek is to restore, to rebuild, to lift up. Do you catch what's happening here? She was restored. She was rebuilt. She was lifted up. Jesus sees her, he frees her, and then he rebuilds her and lifts her up and makes her straight. And rejoicing in her freedom, we read, she declares praise and glory to God. That is what the Lord would like to do with each of us, that we would be lifted up and no longer hiding and ashamed or afraid. As she rejoices, though, not everyone's rejoicing, because look at verse 14. As she glorifies God, we read, but the ruler of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, said to the people, there are 6 days which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. He was indignant. He was much displeased. This guy was fit to be tied. He was infuriated. Today's the Lord's day of liturgy, of worship, of holiness, not a day for messiness, but a day of order. Come on those other days with your messiness and your disabilities and be healed, not on the Sabbath. The next point could have been Jesus bristles. Jesus lays a smack down. Jesus takes him on. No hesitation. Verse 15. Then the Lord answered him, you hypocrites. You hypocrites! Does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or donkey, which would be called work, from the manger and lead it away and water it? You hypocrites! Pretender, you actor, you insincere. Another Wikipedia definition. Hypocrisy is the contrivance of a false appearance of virtue and goodness while concealing real character or inclinations, especially with respect to religious or moral beliefs. False appearance while concealing real character kind of sounds like a mask, right? The Pharisee has a mask on, hiding his own, whatever it was, jealousy, trying to act holy. He has on a mask. And Jesus takes down this pretender, the one concealing his real character with a mask of goodness and religion. And Jesus exclaims in verse 16, and ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, who Satan bound for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day, be set free? He says, is this daughter of Abraham less valuable than your cattle or donkey? You hypocrites. Shouldn't she also deserve to be set free on this, the Sabbath? In another similar instance of healing on the Sabbath, same thing. He healed a man People grumbled. Jesus said this in Luke 14, verse 5. Jesus said to them, "Which of you, having a son or an ox that's fallen into a well on the Sabbath day, will not immediately do what would be called work and pull them out?" Jesus, the Son of Man, is Lord of the Sabbath. Jesus turns their religious priorities upside down. He reveals their mask of religion, declaring that the Sabbath day is exactly the day for healing to occur. "Bring it on," Jesus says. "Bring your infirmities into my presence, your disabilities, especially on the Sabbath." And that's our fourth point: come as you are. How many of you right now sit here hiding behind your masks? How many of you, like this woman, have been impacted, affected, and enslaved by your disabilities, by your own physical, emotional, or spiritual disabilities? Perhaps for years, like her. But you have hidden them all behind your mask. How many of you not only wear masks, but you've so perfected the masks that you have on that they're virtually permanent? They don't have to be reapplied. They simply are never, ever removed. How many of you are suffering behind your masks? How many of you weekly enter this church, this sanctuary, this fellowship of believers, with your masks firmly in place, hiding yourself from your spiritual family, the very people of God, the very people God has given you to accept you, to love you as his are, to be his hands and his feet and his love to you? I ask you this question: is prayer effective? Okay, that didn't sound convinced. Let's try a different question. Does God hear and answer our prayers?
Yes.
So is prayer effective?
Yes.
As followers of Jesus, we're called, we're implored, we're commanded by God's word to be in community with others, our spiritual brothers and sisters, and we are commanded to pray without ceasing. Scripture declares that prayer is powerful. It's communication with God, both talking and listening. It's effective, and we are told that it's important, it's necessary, and it's powerful. Scripture declares that some disabling spirits are only removed by prayer. Scripture models that God used Jesus' prayers, the prayers of the disciples and the prayers of the early church, to bring healing, to bring restoration, to bring transformation, and to bring freedom to countless men, women, and children. Has God changed?
No.
That had better be the answer. Has God changed?
No.
Through prayer, will he still set the captive free?
Yes.
So does it make sense then for you to continue to hide behind your mask? To continue, thank you. To continue to hide those things which have been emotionally or spiritually disabling you for years, so that your brothers and sisters in Christ remain unaware and remain unable to pray for you? No, it does not make sense to do that any longer. You all need community. Real community around you. You all need a small group of believers in which you can be real, setting masks aside. Scary, but necessary. You all need a small community in which you can be seen and known, and in which you can experience freedom and healing by the power of God through the love and prayer of others. This is why life groups are so crucial for every one of you. Life groups are not optional for the kingdom of God. You all need community. Yes, you all should feel comfortable in this large gathering to come as you are, to be yourselves in the larger Sunday gatherings, whether you're sad and weeping through worship, whether you're angry at God, not even willing to stand up to sing. As his people, we know those emotions will come. You need to be courageous, willing to be here no matter how you're feeling. Sabbath is a day where you should be able to come as you are. The greater need, though, is to have a closer fellowship with a few who can truly know you, with whom you can truly be real, vulnerable, where it's safe to begin to cast aside your masks and be ministered to be prayed for, and to receive freedom and restoration. Jesus sees and he frees. So my prayer for each of you this morning is for three things. I pray for you to be very aware of the masks that you wear, that you will leave uncomfortable knowing about your masks. Perhaps for the first time in years, I want you to leave with an awareness of the ways you're hiding behind a mask. Second prayer is for you to have the courage to come as you are into weekly Sunday fellowship, not to hide, not to stay home, not to be afraid, but to come as you are and to begin setting aside your masks. Thirdly, and finally, I pray for you to have the courage to seek change, that you would take steps to find a life group and find community. And if you have small group community, that you will press into that and begin to remove your masks and be real. I pray for you to have the courage to seek change, to find community where you can take steps to remove your masks, to begin to be truly known and loved, and then for you to be free. The Lord Jesus has come to free, and the enemy seeks to hold every one of you captive. He wants to free you from your masks and free you to love and serve and then care for others in community, because it's not just about you. As you are known, as you know others, then he will use you in others' lives to set them free. And for you to be the man or woman that God created you to be. He knows you. He knows all of you. And he loves you as you are. And he desires for you to be free, to be restored and renewed, to not leave you as you are, to set you free from your bondage and to restore you and to rebuild you. And I close with the words of Isaiah. If you will set aside the yoke and the bondage of your masks, then shall your light rise in the darkness, and your gloom be as the noonday. And the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your desire in scorched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.